Good to see everyone this morning, and I'm going to try to start a little early so I can finish a little early. Finishing is always my hardest part, as you well know. So we are looking at Isaiah and Romans. We've been back and forth, so if you would turn to Psalms, somewhere in between Isaiah and Romans. Psalms 2. While you're turning there, if you would remember my sister, she's been in ICU this weekend, and she came out this morning. Y'all probably already know, it's probably on Facebook or whatever nonsense there is. But if you would remember her, and also a very good family friend of mine, the Crawford family, and Elizabeth and Mrs. Crawford passed away. I'll be attending that funeral this evening, so if you would remember them. Psalms 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Now, if you look around today, you see the first part of that chapter. But if you also realize God's laughing, God's not laughing at sin, folks. God's laughing at man trying to save himself. God's laughing at man not seeing his condition and not realizing that he can't save himself. He's laughing. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his... You know, you can only go so far until God turns off the mercy spigot. Now, everyone knows that in your house and by your faucet are two handles. I can't think what they're called. Whatever. One is for hot, one is for cold. Now, if you turn them both on, you get lukewarm. That's sort of where we're at today, folks. They're trying to have it both ways, and it's just lukewarm. Well, we all know what the Bible says about lukewarmness. God's going to spew it out of his mouth. But you have on those two sides for a reason. One's hot and one's cold. Now, I see that as the cold side, which feels a little better, unless it's real cold, and then the warm feels better. But most of the time, it's the cold that feels better to you. The warm is to make sure you get the germs off better. You know, if you wash your hands in hot soapy water, you'll do a whole lot better than you will cold soapy water. But there's two reasons for that. One's hot, one's cold. Well, it's the same thing with God. One side of him is mercy. The other side is wrath. And what he says is, he's going to speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Now, who's the them and who's the they? The ones he's laughing at. The ones that say, let us break our own bands asunder. We can set ourselves free. We'll live the way we want to live. We can do it. We don't need a God. I noticed this morning, I saw a poll this morning, just haphazardly. It was on the TV. I wasn't watching TV this morning. I never watch TV on Sunday morning. I don't want my mind on that stuff. But it happened to be on in the kitchen, and I noticed it came up with a new poll. And it said that the number of people who don't even acknowledge nor want any kind of religion has increased. And they were saying how bad that is. I say that's good. I say that's good. But one thing, closer to the Lord coming back. But another thing is, maybe we'll get back to those days where they would acknowledge they're lost. You know, we've been living in a time where people wouldn't even acknowledge they're lost. Well, how are you going to tell somebody how to get saved if they don't acknowledge they're lost? So he says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Now, notice he talks about his wrath, but then he comes right back to mercy. You know, one of the minor prophets said, Lord, in thy wrath, remember mercy. So he says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Notice how he switches from their condition to his solution. He tells them the way to get by from having to deal with his wrath. Is how? Son. Through his son. Wasn't that what he said in Romans? Is that not what Romans chapter 1 said? He said that Paul was separated unto the gospel of God, which is concerning his son. So he says, I've set my son upon the holy hill. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath set me up, said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Wasn't that what he said in Isaiah? If you are willing and obedient, you shall enjoy the fruits of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. So you see, Scripture may say it in a different book of the Bible, may say it in a different chapter, but folks, the message is not changing. The message is not going to change. The message is simple. What is the theme of Isaiah? Salvation. What's the theme of Romans? Salvation. What's the theme of the second chapter of Psalms? Deliverance, salvation. He says, look, I know you say you can do this. I'm laughing at that, he says. And in my wrath, I'll judge you. But if you'll look to my son, then you don't have to. Then he goes on to say this. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Is that not what it says in the Bible? That the Lord will rule with a rod of iron? Absolutely. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Get smart. Wise up. How many of you have told your kid that? You better wise up. Maybe that's not a saying anymore. Maybe I misspoke. When I was growing up, my dad say, he'd either say, you're a wise guy or wise up. One was encouragement, one was going to be followed with non-encouragement. But he says, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Now, how do you get wise? Through the Lord, through Jesus Christ. That's the only way, because it says he's the wisdom. And it says we get wisdom through him. But then he goes on to say, be instructed. You see, the word will do two things for you. The first thing is it'll save you. If you'll believe God's word, this word will save you. But then after it saves you, it will instruct you. Well, it seems like that's what Romans said. That it is from faith unto faith. In other words, the word will save you, and then you take the word and it guides you. Oh, That's what David said in Psalms 119. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Thy word is a light unto my path. Well, what's he saying? Well, first of all, the lamp is up close. First, I got to let the light get close to me in salvation, right? Because he's the light of the world. He's the light that lighteth every man that cometh in the world. But listen, you don't have the light unless you got him. He's the light. He says, listen, they won't come to the light because they love darkness rather than light for one simple reason. Their deeds are evil. Because if you come to Christ, you got to know that he's going to expose your sin. That's the deeds. The deeds are evil. Your sin's evil. Your sin's vile. Your sin's ugly. Your sin is an affront to God. And if you come, the lamp will show it up. And then after he saves you, guess what? Then the light, it doesn't show right here. That's the lamp. Then it becomes the light that shows you out. It shows you where you need to walk. I mean, if all you had was a lamp, you'd still stumble, folks. Because there'd be something out there that you don't see in time. But boy, by the way, I got to tell you, this is wonderful. Little Brenda, she gave me a flashlight for Christmas. Now, most people would look at that and say, well, that ain't nothing. Crying out loud. Couldn't you do better than that, Brenda?
No,
look, I'm having fun. Don't be taking me serious. But you know, that is the best flashlight I've ever had. You flip that thing, I don't know if it's a LED light or what. LED, I know it's LED. I call it LED. Look. But anyway, that thing, I'm telling you, it for a little light. Ooh, baby, that thing light up whole room. Well, I'm going to tell you something, folks. This right here will light up your room. This right here will light up your path. This right here will light up your life. You'll walk the way you're supposed to walk. You'll walk where you're supposed to walk if you're walking according to the light. But if you turn it off, bless God, you might as well get ready to pick yourself up or ask to be picked up. You can't pick yourself up because you're going to stumble and you're going to fall. And you know what you're going to do when you do? I've fallen down. I can't get it. And then the only person can get you up is the person that stood you up to start with and told you, keep the light on. Stupid. Well, I mean, look. If you know you need the light on to see where you're going, let me give you an example. Here's old Tom. He thinks he can do anything. He don't realize his age. He thinks he can just do anything. So I get up. And I decide that I don't need to turn the light on to go downstairs. Well, guess what I did? I missed a step. And if God hadn't veered me off to the right, I'd have went down about 14 steps. But God veered me off, praise God, to the right, and I hit the other steps. Because it's three different levels and it goes like that. So I hit the steps going up so I couldn't fall down. But the reason was it didn't turn the light on. Now, I don't say that to be funny. I say that to say this. If we don't, this is another good one. They're just popping right and left this morning. Everybody knows that commercial, we'll leave a light on for you.
Yeah.
Well, listen. God says, I've left the light on for you. But if you don't get it, and if you don't turn it on and let it light up for you, it's not going to help you. You're just going to fall. And you know what happens when you fall? You can get hurt. You know what happens when you get hurt? You can be a burden to somebody else. Sometimes your fall may be real serious and you be laid up. Now you've not only created a problem for yourself, you've created a problem for people around you that love you. All because you decided one day, bless God, I don't need that life today. Look at me, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I can do it. Well, that's pride. And what goeth before pride? A fall. Pride goeth before a fall. So the next time you think you don't need to turn this light on, you remember that. Now, I got to move on because I said I'm starting early so I can quit early. I haven't even got to my lesson yet. This is all preparation. Sometimes my preparation goes over to next week. And then he says, be wise, be instructed, you judges there, and do what? How? Listen, I told you about fear now. I realize that fear, that most everyone wants to equate it with reverence, reverential fear. And I get that. The word does mean that. But folks, it also means a quaking fear. It's that same fear I felt when I got in my first firefight in Vietnam. I had no reverential fear. But I'll tell you what, I was shaking like a leaf in the wind. I had fear. Well, folks, if I'm afraid of an enemy that's just shooting at me that can just take this life, what should it be from, he says, fear not man who can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. I'm going to tell you why people are in the situation they're in, folks. I'm going to tell you why this country's in the situation it's in. We've lost fear of God. You say, Tom, how do you know that? That was that on Fox? No, I'll tell you where it was. Bless God, it's right in here. There is no fear before their eyes. We've flown our sin, and we think God is not paying attention. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. If it don't start in here, it's going to get worse out there. If we don't take the message from here out to there, they're not going to know they need to fear. So he says this, serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with... Now see, there's the two words. I told you, didn't I? I told you it meant two things, didn't I? You think I make this stuff up, but I don't. I promise, I study. Kiss the Son. Now what do you do? I mean, look. If I'm going to kiss my wife, I'm going to do it because I want to show her and affection. I want her to know what she means to me. Well, look, if you come to Jesus Christ and don't show him what he means to you, you're there for the wrong reason. Because you're there because you realize you can't save yourself. He's the only one that can. The only one. And so you kiss the Son, lest he be... And ye from the... Well, the way there is just life. Now, there's twofold to that. You know, sometimes your sin will cost you your life here. You have to remember that. But far worse than that, your sin will cost you any life. Now, somebody give me a verse that I just gave you last week that says that very thing. Show me how smart you are. Show me how well you listen. Don't look at your notes. John 3:36. He that believeth hath life everlasting. But he that believeth not shall not see life. And I told you there's a word missing there. What word did I tell you is missing? Thank you, my assistant, buddy, she's got it. She don't like to show off. That's the reason she don't answer more. She don't like to let people know how smart she is. But when it says, look, if you believe the Son, you get life everlasting. But if you don't believe the Son, you won't even see life, but you are going to be in everlasting. Because the rest of the verse goes on to say, for the wrath. For the wrath of God abides on you. Well, forever. Now add another one. And ever. And now add another one. You know, you couldn't get enough evers in there to know what eternity is. That's how long. And I shouldn't even say how long, because that means there's a time frame to it. It's hard to describe eternity because we don't know anything about it. But we're going to. And you're either going to know it in life, or you're going to know it in wrath. It's your choice. You either get the blessings. Look, to be absent from the body is to be. That's what the Bible says, right? Yeah. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the passing of a saint. Well, those are nice verses. Those are comforting to someone who's lost a mother, a daughter, a son, a husband, a wife, whatever. It's comforting to know that they're present with the Lord. But what about another verse? Oh, we never hear this at a funeral. And in hell he lift up his eyes being in torment. Oh, we wouldn't want to say that at a funeral, would we? Well, you know, I've thought sometimes maybe we ought to preach more about hell at funerals. There's nothing you can do about the person that's passed away, but those that's sitting there in that pew, bless God, that might be the last time you'll ever see them to give them the word. Because if you're not present with the Lord, in hell you'll lift up your eyes. The two faucets. Not too fussy. What'd you call them? Taps. I hate to say taps because I used to go in and say, give me one on tap. Oh, God. That's why I don't want to use your word anymore. But that's what it's talking about. Now you say, Tom, I thought we was looking at Romans. Oh, we are. I've been teaching as hard as I know how. He says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled. But he don't want you to end on that bad note. God is so good. So loving. So merciful. He doesn't want you to end on that sad note. Because he says this. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. You don't have to worry about him getting angry. You don't have to worry about his wrath. You're blessed. God, when you die, you're in the presence of God. You're whole. That's the gospel. You say, Tom, that's in the Old Testament. I thought the gospel was in the New Testament. No, the gospel began back in Genesis, folks. That's where it started. God's just finishing it up over in the New. See, he promised it in the old. He finished it in the new. That's why Revelation is the last book in the Bible, and there'll never be another one. And that's why the very last thing in Revelation is what? The very last thing. I just taught Revelation. Does anybody listen? I'm just teasing. Look, I can't remember myself, but let me see if I can. Come. And the bride says, come. And let him that is athirst come. And let him that believeth come. And let him that heareth come. And drink of the water of life freely. He says that after all, listen, Revelation is about so much dying and death and wrath of God. It's about the apocalypse. You know, you hear them throw that word out, folks. Listen, we have a bad tornado, we have a bad hurricane, we have a bad this or a bad that, and that word comes right out. But you tell them one day God's going to really cause apocalypse on this world, and they won't buy it for nothing. You know why? Because they think if they'll quit using fossil fuel, turn to windmills and solar panels, and quit having children, quit eating hamburgers. You say, Tom, that's nonsensical. Not to them. That's what Psalm said. They think they can break their bands asunder. They think, hey, listen, they think they're going to save this thing. And they only got 10 years to do it. Well, I got news for them. I'm going to drive home today, bless God. I'm not walking too far. Couldn't make it. Probably ain't physically able. You say, Tom, you're making fun of him. No, God's making fun of him. He said, I'm laughing at him. You think he's not laughing at that nonsense, folks? You say, now you're getting political. No, I'm not. It's the word. The global warming comes when it says that this earth shall melt with fervent heat. But not at man's hand. God's going to do that. But that's the gospel. Now you say, Tom, Romans says that Paul was separated under the gospel of God and it was concerning Jesus Christ, right? And that he was born of the seed of David, right? Yeah. And that he was tested to be the son at the resurrection, right? Yeah, that's right. And then he comes on down and he talks about the wonderful things about their faith and his faith and how they comfort each other in faith. And that's right, isn't it? And then he comes over and he says, now I'm ready to go to Rome and I'm going to preach the gospel because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Listen, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Whatever you do, don't ever be ashamed that Jesus Christ died for the sins of this world, folks. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm ready to go preach. I wasn't ready this morning. I got to tell you, I came here with a burdened heart. I wasn't ready to teach because I didn't want to teach what I got to teach, but I'm going to teach what I got to teach because it's the Word of God. And so he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it's the power of God under salvation. It's not just the power of God. It is the power of God, but the power of God brings something to you. Salvation! To the Jew first, but also to the Greek, the Gentile, that's us. Now, you say, Tom, why did he send his son? Why the gospel? Why? What's the reason for all this? What's the reason for the gospel? I'm not in John. Well, he tells you right here in the very next verse. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who, all who hold the truth wrongly in unrighteousness. You know why God sent his son? Because there wasn't a single person on this earth that was righteous. For all have sinned. All's come short to the glory of God. Well, when you come short of God's glory, you're short, my friend. I don't care. Hey, you may be in Brushy Mountain Prison on death row for killing children, but you're short. Or you may be the best deacon in any church around, but you're short. I use the example, you know, I used to go out to the lake to ski years ago out. Anybody know Tyke Light?
Oh, yeah.
You know, they had a place out on the lake, and my dad loved to ski, and, you know, Dan, he loved ski, and I loved to ski. I couldn't ski very good, but I loved to. But they lived right down, and their property went right down to the lake, and they had this dock, you know. Well, more than liking to ski, I like to just jump off the dock. And I'd take a run ago, and I'd see how far out I could jump. And you know, from the dock to the other side over there, it's a long way. Well, here's the illustration that I give. Let's say me and Sandy, she's a lot more athletic than I am, and weighs a lot less than I do. And let's say that we decide that we're going to see who can jump the farthest and land on the other side. And I say, well, I'm going to go first. So I take off a running. And I jump as far as I can. Guess what? I come up short. Well, here's Sandy. She says, oh, I didn't beat you. She takes off a running. And being the athlete she is, and flies like a bird through the air. And she gets out 75 yards farther than I did. But you know what? She come up short. Because nobody jumps to the other side. These people that think when they die they jump to the other side, I got news for them. They're going to come short of the other side. For all have sinned and come short. There'll be one way, bless God, you'll get to the other side. You'll walk that cross or you won't come. That cross makes it to the other side. And you can jump all you want or you can take God's way and walk right down that cross, bless God, and just keep on walking. And guess what? One of these days you'll reach the other side. That's what he's talking about. For the wrath of God. Now I got to go. Oh, boy, I got to hurry. Ooh, I just got a few minutes. Oh, got to hurry. All right, here we go. We're going to Romans. For the wrath of God, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth. That word hold means to grasp or suppress. In other words, if I was on the floor and Chris was to stand on me, he would be suppressing me. He would be holding me down, right? Well, here's what they say. They hold the word of God down. Why? Because it exposes them. So he says they hold the truth in unrighteousness. And then he goes on to say, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Let me tell you something. Don't take this the wrong way, but I'm going to tell it like it is, my understanding of that. You know, you hear this saying about people haven't heard about Christ. Well, this says here that they're without excuse, bless God. They know. Because God's put it in them. Now, he's put some light in every person. That's what John says. John says he is the light that lighteth every person that cometh into the world, right? So every person that comes into this world has an understanding in them, a light in them. And if they respond to that correctly, positively, godly, God will send them the more light. But they're not anyone going to stand before God and say, I didn't know. If that's the case, then you're calling God a liar. Because he says, you did know because I put it in you. I put it in you to know. Listen, folks, come on. Let's talk sensible. You can't walk outside and look around and not know that God's there. Now, don't get me wrong. Listen, you don't get saved by nature. You know, I'm not into all that nonsense. But you can't go outside and look at the creation of God and know that there's not a God. And if you know there's a God, then bless God, you better know that his son came. Because you've got the light. You've got the light that there's a God. And you better do something with it. Because if you know there's a God, you know he has to be holy. And if you know he's holy, you know you're not. And if you're not, bless God, you're not going where he is. He says, hey, I'm just telling you what he said. He says, I put it in everyone. So you're without excuse. Because that, when they knew God. Hey, that's God saying that. Because that when they knew God. Now that's not talking about knowing him in salvation. That's talking about having a knowledge of looking around and saying, well, look, I wish I could do this better than I do. You can't go up to the hospital where someone just has a newborn baby and not know there's a God. That just didn't happen. That wasn't from an amoeba some billions of years ago. God said, I made man and woman. Now go and make, multiply upon the earth. You can't look at a newborn baby and say, no, bless God, there is a God too. But you can't look at this world and say there's not a God either. You can't look at this world and say there's not God's wrath either. Now look, I know that tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes and stuff like that come from the curse of sin. I get that. But oh, I gotta believe that's God. I gotta believe that's God saying. Now let me tell you something. I'm gonna give you just a hint what I can do here. I mean, you may lay down tonight, bless God, and you may not wake up because I may send a tornado right through your house. You better start waking up and seeing me. So he says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was. Look, when you turn a blind eye to God, you're going to just have blind eyes. Everyone's born into darkness, folks. Everyone's born into sin. But you know what? You can go deeper in it. Just look around. Look around at the wasted lives that have just become so depraved. So desperate. Their lives ruined. You know, the Bible says this, that the way of the wicked is hard. The way of a transgressor is hard. So he says, professing themselves to be wise, they just came stupid. That's what the word fool means. It means stupidity. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping. Here's what they did. They didn't want to do it God's way, but they still, because God said, I put it in you, they're still religious folks. Listen, why do you think there's so many religions around the world? They're worshiping a God. But it's a God of their own making. Because there's a light in them that knows there's a God. But they don't want to accept God. They want their own God. So they can live their own lives, live their own way. And their God recognizes how they live. Well, I got news for everyone. God don't recognize how you live. He's not interested in how you live. He's not concerned with how you live. He's concerned with what you do with his son. Because I'm going to tell you something. All you got to do, and all you got to do is look at the cross. All you got to do is look at the cross. What two things do you see at the cross? What two things of God do you see at the cross? That's a question. We've got visitors now, and I want them to know how smart my class is. What two things do you see at the cross?
Love and wrath.
I knew she'd get it. I knew she'd get it if she just had a little longer to think. I'm going to show you something. And then I'm done. What would cause God to do this? You know, sometimes we say that so flippantly. For while we were yet, Christ died for us. No greater love hath any man than a man that would lay down his life. But you wasn't his friend. I wasn't his friend. We were opposed to him. We were opposite of him. He was holy. We were unholy. He was righteous. We were unrighteous. He owed us nothing. Love. And I'll pay it for you. But what was the second one, huh? What happened on the cross? Well, but what happened? But what happened? But what happened? My God. My God,
why did you forsake me?
Why hast thou forsaken me? Let me ask you something, parents. I've never had children of my own. I've had a lot of nieces and nephews that broke my heart, though. If your child come to you one day and said, Mom, Dad, why have you forsaken me? What would it take for you to forsake your child? Would it not break you?
Absolutely.
Well, if that's true with us, think of God turning his back on his own son because he couldn't look on him. If he can't look at his own son who took on your sin, what do you think he's going to do to people who reject and refuse him? I'm going to tell you something, and I'm done. We better take this a little more serious than we do, folks. This is life or death for people. We've let this world bring us down, bless God, to where it's just smoothed over and everybody's in. God's wrath's going to hit this place one of these days, folks. I saw it. I couldn't believe it, but I saw it. Saw where a preacher apologized for saying that. I won't apologize. Because I love people. I don't want anybody to die and in hell lift up their eyes being in torment. I want everyone that dies to be present with the Lord. But that only happens if you believe the gospel, if you believe God and His Son. Well, I'm on the roll, but I got to quit. See you.